minister to go forward with this after we had given a consolidated a testimony.
Well, clearly another issue we have to cover, but we have to wrap up now. Michael Vendiola, thank you for joining us. And Clark Williams-Derry will link to your report, The Rickety Finances Behind the Dakota Access Pipeline. That does it for our show. Tonight, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary here in New York City at Riverside Church. Tune in at 7 p.m. for our special live stream of Democracy Now!'s celebration with Harry Belafonte, Noam Chomsky, Patti Smith, Danny DeVito, Danny Glover, Tom Morello, Juan Gonzalez, Patti Smith, and others. You can watch right here at democracynow.org or on your station. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. Coming up at 9 o'clock on the Old Mole Variety Hour, we're going to hear from Bill Ayers about his new book, Demand the Impossible, a Radical Manifesto. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia at 10, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Locus Focus at 10:15. Barbara Bernstein discusses the victory of the water protectors at Standing Rock. Follows up on the fight to keep a giant fossil fuel project from being built in the Northwest. And up next at just a couple of minutes, it's More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott and Celeste. And they are going to also take your calls regarding Standing Rock and movement building. Rainy today, high near 40, low tonight around 33, and tomorrow a 30% chance of snow before 10 in the morning. It's 8 o'clock. This is KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is currently hiring for the following three positions: Station Manager, Evening News and Public Affairs Director, and Director of Underwriting. To apply to one of these positions, send a cover letter and resume to hiring@kboo.org, or bring or mail your resume with cover letter to 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer the following question: why is KBOO important? Open until filled. Interviews will begin around December 9th. No phone calls, please. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. For more information, go to kboo.org.
Collisions are induced from the conformist-infused practice. They want me to change me, but don't change me. How do you be yourself and change yourself? Because those intuitive illusions got me confusing, losing myself as a positive conclusion. Because holding on to who you are, to me, is what matters when this ends.
Hear the Oregon State Penitentiary Uhuru Sasa Poetry Share on Prison Pipeline, Monday, December 5th at 6:30 p.m.
This isn't black or white, chromosome X or Y, heterosexual or bi. It's a question of why we always section the pie. And the thesis is that we'll never see peace until we see that each piece is cut from the same matter, and that's really what matters.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Able Savings Plan launch on December 6th at 5 p.m. at the White Stag Building in Portland. The Oregon Able Savings Plan will allow people with disabilities and their families save for the future without losing their state and federal benefits. The disability community has worked for 10 years to pass Able legislation and are holding this event to celebrate and educate others about the opportunity. There will be refreshments, activities for kids, information, and more. Again, that's Oregon Able Savings Plan launch on December 6th at 5 p.m. at the White Stag Building. That's at 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
morning. Today is December 5th, 2016, and you are listening to KBOO FM, your community radio station. This is More Talk Radio, and I am Cecil Prescott. December 5th, it's early morning. It's much like any other day. People rise, eat breakfast, and workers on the first shift in factories, made to work in houses of the owners of the factory, put on their winter coats and leave for work. But unlike other days, this day was different. As public buses pulled into bus stops, people were not waiting. Stop after stop, the same occurrence repeated. No one was at the bus stand. And thus began a 381-day campaign now known as Montgomery Bus Boycott. Let's be clear. The sanitized version that has been fed to us for generations is simply not true. No. Rosa Parks was not a mild-mannered elderly Negro woman who just happened to be tired that day. Mrs. Parks was a seasoned, trained movement organizer who was part of a deliberate, intentional, well-planned-out strategy to confront and dismantle the racist social and economic power structure in Montgomery, Alabama. The movement in Montgomery was following in the footsteps of many revolutionary nonviolent movement in this country and indeed throughout the world. 381 days later, the people claimed victory, but that was only one step. This weekend, as many gathered in Standing Rock, and many throughout the nation stood in solidarity, we realize for a moment what may seem like a victory. But what we need to realize that the movement for justice and freedom is not a moment, it is not a step, but it continues to be a long and continuing process. It is more than a tweet. It is more than a Facebook post. It is more than signing a petition. It is more than being angry. As Sean King, chief organizer of a national movement that begins today, has said, we need to be as organized as we are outraged. So where do we go from here? As Martin King said in his last book in 1967, what are our options? In the age of Trump, what is our ancestors, those who built movement for justice, not only in this country, throughout the world, would advise us? Today, let's share our thoughts. First on Standing Rock, but more as equally as important, what are the steps we are taking to build a movement? Mrs. Parks would ask us to do that. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we have a caller who's been waiting for 25 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go to her. Good morning.
Good morning. What a lovely introduction. Thank you, Cecil. And it's nice to have you folks on the radio this morning, Celeste, Cecil. I just wanted to say a few things real fast. Chris Andre was kind enough to ask me to talk a little bit about some of the stuff associative with some of the dances and stuff that were occurring at Standing Rock. One around the Black Snake, And I'll do this really quickly. The black snake is sometimes associative with the Serpent Mound in Ohio, which is linked to some nations and then additional nations that are also linked to the old story of Eden. Well, anyway, one particular tribal group that comes out of the Serpent Mound is the Mingo, Minkwa. And that family group, Indian, produced the ambassador to the 13 colonies, the Iroquois ambassador. And in the course of history, that ambassador's family was almost entirely murdered in an atrocious act. And Logan, the chief of the Mingo, went into war. And at that time already, into his land had come many white settlers illegally, whom he allowed to reside amongst his people, and many escaped slaves who were harbored. Well, when the terrible event occurred to Logan's family, he was outraged, and he was well respected and loved for his good heart and his good ways. And so the white settlers that had come in illegally joined up with Logan, and the escaped slaves, black, joined up with Logan, and they became the Mingo, and they were a pretty powerful group who were allied with Tecumseh. And they went down into the plantations of Virginia and freed even more slaves. And that's partly why we've been written out of history. But there are many, many Mingos, red, white, and black, still running around today with the linkage to the Iroquois ambassador who walked and talked freedom with Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, and who is credited in history as giving them strong inspiration that they put into the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So there is an old, strong, united, fighting freedom path. And in what has come through at Standing Rock, it's, as our people have been told, the women called for, let's hold on to this water. Men, come join us. We're standing here. You come stand with us. The men did. And then people of other colors came and stood with those Indian people. And then the soldiers of all colors came and stood, all for water. And NPR has become so, so conservative in its tone that NPR never, ever got around to stating the fact that these people were standing for the water source for 18 million water drinkers. And you folks bring that up a lot, and you folks do a lot, and where we can go from here is we stand together for our water in the gorge. It's ours. It's not Nestle's. We remember that we've always been together, and the reason I brought up a few provocative things over the last few weeks pertaining to cross-racial racism, and I'm multiracial, is that we've all got to take care of our hearts, get our hearts strong, stronger still, and recognize that we've always been together, and we don't have time for this bickering. We've got to take the resources that we have and coalesce further, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you so much, and would you like to share your name with us?
Oh, Sunny Black Horse, and Black Horse comes from the Black Horse family, is associative with Tecumseh, the one who worked for 12 years gathering up all the different Indian nations, and so his heart is very glad and very happy to see everyone coming, and Logan, of course, is extremely happy. But this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, and we'll hold on to it, and we'll just be as tough and strong and brave as Rosa Parks. We'll try to be.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You know, that was something that was lost, I think, on a lot of people too, not really understanding. This is actually a responsibility for all of us, for ourselves and for the future, which is to look forward to preserving our resources like our water, which are more than just a resource. They're, I call them an essential, you know. But one thing that I wanted to say, Cecil, that we should be doing is, yes, you're right, this is but one pearl on a string of ongoing moments, but you should stop and celebrate and give thanks. That's what we should be doing, is celebrate and give that, because I know I was. I found out about a little less than an hour after the news had been released, and I was doing my little secret private party happy dance because I was thrilled. And you know, we should not take this as that, like you said, and like so many before us have said, this is not the end. All we've got right now is a temporary stay, you know, so it's all about maintaining that same spiritual position and maintaining the attitude of preservation and peace, and but still moving forward. Don't give up.
And you're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio, and we will speak with you. Our next caller is about to join us. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I want to reiterate what the woman just said about your intro, Cecil. That was really beautiful, and I really love that point you make about the movement was premeditated and thoughtful and organized. It wasn't just people getting angry and, you know, getting mad, and so that was just a great point you made. And the thing that I wanted to I had a comment and a question. I guess I'll start with the question. On Democracy Now! This morning, they interviewed Dave Archambault, and he was really encouraging people to get up and leave, and saying that things are done now for the time being and people should go home. And then the other gentleman was saying, well, no, it's, you know, we've seen from the past that they will try harder to just make things happen because they feel like they've got momentum, I guess. And so there seems to be the beginnings of a bit of a tug of war there. And I was kind of hoping that you or other people might elaborate on that. Not sure, you know, it sounds like people are probably questioning what should we do? Should we stay or should we go? Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I'll just have a couple, and let's share her thoughts. One is, you know, I think in movements generally there are multiple strategies, and so there isn't one or the other way in terms of how to respond to crises. I think, and I haven't been there, and I don't know, but one thing I would suggest is to listen as much as possible to the elders there, to the leaders, yes, of the movement. We certainly, all of us, have work to do in our own communities. And so those are just some of the top thoughts off the top of my head. Celeste?
You know, I was going to pretty much agree with what Cecil said. Unfortunately, we're not in real time, so we really don't know what's going on, and what we've got is reports. But you can assume that there's going to be people who are going to say, let us stay, let us, you know, consecrate the space, let us stand and watch. Some folks might have to leave out of expediency, who knows, but the idea being that they're going to probably put it to a vote, you know, because that's the way First Nation people do it. So we'll see what happens, see how it unfolds. But, you know, like Cecil was saying, there's going to be multiple strategies and multiple attitudes and perspectives. So we're just kind of going to wait and see, and they'll let us know.
You know, it becomes more and more obvious that companies like the pipeline, they're trying to put this pipeline through, more and more it's becoming very kind of bald-faced, I can't think of the words, but they're going to do. And,
right.
And they'll put things through and then say, oh, doggone, I guess that wasn't legal, but it's done now.
Yes.
And people know that, and this new administration coming through, I think, is more of that. I mean, rule of law and the old quaint ideas of going by the book and doing things right, I mean, that's kind of like old school. I mean, now it's time for full-on, you know, you just you just do it, and you don't, you know, damn the rules. And I think that a lot of the people there probably understand that, that these guys don't play by the rules. They don't care about right and wrong. They're going to do what they want to do. So I guess there's a lot of, you know, yeah, that's some of the conflict there.
Well,
so,
I can give you.
Think, you know, that's just smoke and mirrors that they're going to, you know, do all this. They're going to say these things, get us to leave, and then they're going to
Right, and there's going to be enough people who are going to remember the past, I'm sure, who are not going to leave. But I tell you, a source that I use for keeping up with Indigenous news, it's cbc.ca. And it's one way to kind of keep up with what's going on. And one of the articles that I haven't had a chance to finish reading that was just published a little bit ago was how First Nation leaders who support pipelines face stigma. You know, and so you can see that there's a divergence of thought there, because you've got some First Nation people who are thinking, well, a pipeline might do us good, might bring us, you know, wealth, yada, yada, yada. And so it's a natural human diversity that we have to deal with and wait and see how everything works out. But I thank you for your call and reminding us that a lot of times, even with a unified position, there's still a multiplicity of attitudes within it.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm eager to hear other people's input. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes.
Hello, good morning. This is Corey.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for your message today. First of all, I'd like to thank you for what you said, Cecil, about when you mentioned movements. And I think what we see is, like, in 2008, when we elected President Obama, I think that was a movement. But I also think that we dropped the ball, and I say we as the people. I know I was still out there fighting to a certain point, but I think that, you know, we live in a post-racial world now. Like, no, we don't. You know, I think that people forget, you know, they start saying things, and what's happening in Standing Rock, I'm glad that people are still there. If we don't stay, I think that these corporations are evil. They're going to do something, you know, they're figuring out something else right now. I think that as soon as Trump, and that they mentioned this on Democracy Now! This morning, as soon as Trump takes over, Trump supports the pipeline, so he can rip everything up and start anew, which I think he's probably going to do. Yes. I also think that one of the big issues for me as a veteran, I also think that the fact that 2,000 veterans went there to work as a human shield, I think the optic of that, because there is, I've been watching, and I go to CBC as well, there's been a lot of police violence. We have over, you know, officers from six different states there right now who are basically attacking these people. But the optics, oh, now you're going to attack veterans. If you think about the fact that the veterans mobilize, and I have a friend that's there right now, and I am willing to go, and I told my wife that, if I got to go, I got to go. If the optics of attacking veterans doesn't look well under any administration, and I think that might have had a huge effect on what's going on right now. I honestly don't feel like if the veterans hadn't gone there, that there would have been a change as dramatic. And I hate to say that, but I think there's some truth behind that. I think that the fact that they went there and they formed a human shield and the police did not execute any violence against them from everything I'm reading, which tells me that that had a major effect on what's going on there right now.
Well, you know, that's part of what being an ally is supposed to be. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of funny because veterans' positions in this country are mixed. You have those of us who appreciate what was done, but recognize that not every war we have fought has been necessarily in our as human beings' best interest. It's been in the country's best interest, you know, the financial or governmental interest. And so you also have people who say that they love the veterans, but then the Veterans Administration is doing, you know, not the best job in taking care of them. So they have a mixed position in our country. But I'm thankful regardless. Now, go ahead.
My wife works with the VA. Her husband's a veteran. Her father's a veteran. She understands that. For myself, I'm a younger veteran. I spent 2 years in Afghanistan, and you're exactly right. There are a lot of, and I'm not going to say this, I don't want to put a blanket over older veterans, but there are a lot of older veterans that they look at me. I would go to the VA, and they were like, well, you know, who are you? I'm like, I'm a veteran. like, oh, well, thank you for serving my country. I'm like, well, it's my country too, partner, but you're welcome.
Well, yeah, you know how old school folks are now. Come on.
Exactly. Thank you for serving my country, brother. But, I found that a lot of younger veterans like myself who spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan, you're exactly right. Someone told me that, thank you. I'm like, well, what did I do? If I would have died in Afghanistan, what would that have accomplished?
It would have been more oil, and unfortunately, it probably would have cost us more money. That's what he would have done. He wouldn't have done anything because my sister-in-law and my son-in-law both served, you know. And in my family, most of us served in the military. So I totally feel you. But one thing I wanted to get you mentioned that you were also reading CBC in terms of getting your information. Did I catch you right?
Yeah, the Canadian broadcasting. Cause I know
right.
I spent a lot of time in Canada. I went to the University of British Columbia, and so you know I'm not going to lie. The first time I saw a quote unquote Indian person was in Vancouver, BC, and that's a whole different that's a whole different issue. But the way they treat Native Americans, well, Indians, Indigenous people there, is astoundingly poor. But I still get my information from there as well.
Yeah, it's a good source for everybody listening if you want to find out, and you can even find out more Indigenous news sites from cbc.ca.
All right, well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Like I said, I really appreciate the fact that the veterans did go. Like I said, I think it's an optics thing. I honestly feel if the police would have attacked those veterans, some stuff would have went down. So I'm also glad that that did not happen.
I'm glad, too. Thank you for your call, you, Corey. Uh-huh.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. And we are broadcasting 90.7 in Portland.
91.9 in Points East along the Columbia River Gorge. And if you are in the Willamette River Valley, it's 104.3 everywhere, KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio, and we are listening to Natalie. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne and Cecil. I just wanted to reiterate that in the movement, there is a whole spectrum of action, from direct action to working within the system.
Yes.
And that all of the actions support each other. So it's very understandable that there may be a difference of opinion as to whether to stay or not in Standing Rock. But I think that one of the reasons that might or could be motivating Chairman Archambault to urge people back is that it probably is a big strain on resources and on the land to have so many people out there. And I think that the fight would probably not be over with this decision, and so that people need to keep some reserves for the next phase.
Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, I'm reading an article, Natalie, here. It's written, you can find it at cbc.ca. It's CBC and Standing Rock, published by Angela Johnson. It says roughly an hour ago that she put it up. And it just says, I'm here until they're done. Standing Rock protesters savor a victory, but not packing up just yet. And so, the sentiment is that we need to stand and be vigilant. So I think you said about resources is probably going to be a definite decision, but I don't see them giving up ground just yet. You know, one thing that we've learned is that corporations speak with forked tongue.
Yeah, and that corporation has been just unbelievable in their actions of just moving into the land without permits or anything like that. So they are not to be trusted.
Yes.
But I just wanted to comment that it's not just, oh, just go home, be enjoy your family. There must be a reason behind it as well.
Yes.
He's very
yes.
wise, I think.
Yes.
But that was all my comments. Thank you very much for everything. And I will see you at the NAACP one of these days.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
Natalie. Except I'm Celeste, not Joanne.
Bye-bye.
No problem.
So certainly if any people know not to trust corporations, the U.S. governments, or indigenous people of this land. Let's take, do we have another caller?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Alyssa. So, let's see, you mentioned that today was the start off of the boycott, the famous bus boycott.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I've been thinking a lot about boycotting and civil rights and protests, since that's been happening a lot. And I don't think that any sort of movement like the bus boycott will ever happen again, because people would rather smoke pot, and that's their protest, getting stoned, getting high. Just being high, doing drugs is now
wait a minute, hold
form
on.
Of protest. No, you
no,
cannot
no, I'm, I want you to tell me which people.
And politics and be for civil rights if you're high out of your mind. It's not possible to do any of those things. And I don't trust anyone who smokes pot and says that they are for civil rights, or that they are liberal or progressive, because it's just not possible. Once you get high, you can't think for yourself. I mean, you're high, you're addicted, and drugs are all you care about. And the last thing on earth you would care about are your rights, because I mean, if you cared about your rights, you wouldn't be getting high. I mean, you can't like harm yourself intentionally and then go out and try to protest and say you're for you want civil rights.
So let me ask you a question, because you seem very passionate about this. A couple of questions. One, why do you think people might do that? It sounds as if, for many people, from what I heard from you, it's a way to deal with the situation. And you offer that there's another way in which to counter, not to dull your senses, but to take action. Is that correct?
I'm not clear on what you're saying, but I think what you're getting at is that why are people getting high? And I think that's because we have personal issues that they haven't dealt with. I think, like...
I'm curious, because we're getting a bit off topic, but you sound very passionate about this, and I'm wondering.
I don't think that we're off topic. I think you have to be.
Let me finish my question.
And
let me.
You have to take care of yourself, and you have to not be harming yourself in order.
Okay. Now you've made that point. How about you let Cecil speak now?
I'm going to ask you. Why? Because you want people to be healthy. So are you? And healthy in what type of way? Do you think people should exercise? Do you think people should eat right? We harm ourselves in many ways. Beyond. Let me finish.
I didn't mention that.
I'm asking.
It's a time. It might be helpful to dial back some of that.
Look,
we're not having a dialogue here. Hello. Thank you for your call. Okay, it's really important to have a dialogue. We don't care about being passionate. Passionate is good. Okay, we can talk about sweeping statements. I used to smoke pot. Okay, it wasn't because I wanted to escape. I just found it to be a novel way to relax. Now, having been a nurse, once I went to nursing school, I changed my ideas, because I realized that for my body, it wasn't going to work. But when it started being used for cancer and HIV and AIDS therapy to help people have appetites and not have so much nausea, I started seeing some therapeutic uses for it that were beyond just the anecdotal. So I personally have no problem understanding, for some people, this is really medicine. It's kind of hard to make a sweeping statement, because I work for civil rights. I'm not high. But when I was younger, I didn't have a problem. So that's a sweeping statement that I think we want to try to avoid. If there's some specific watershed event that has made you realize that some people confuse getting high with an act of civil disobedience or something like that, let's try discussing that. But I don't know. Anything else, Cecil?
No.
Okay.
Let's go on to our next caller.
Francis,
good morning.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi. Well, that kind of caused me to lose my train of thought there, but it was I believe that the young woman just needs to be educated a little bit on, it sounds like there might have been an assumption that anybody that's involved in this movement is somebody that also smokes marijuana, or that, as you said, smoking marijuana is perceived as some kind of an act of defiance. I mean, maybe for some young people it is, but momentarily. But as they grow older, that doesn't happen anymore. But back to Standing Rock.
Thank you.
I am concerned that this is just a temporary reprieve, as everyone has said. I also think that it isn't necessary to look for a conflict right now on how to proceed, because the fundamental, I'm getting a lot of feedback. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we've got a speaker on. I haven't figured out how to turn it off as soon as I can. That'll help. But go ahead and talk, Francis.
The fundamental message was to protect all that is sacred. And as one woman said, keep your eye on the prize, and that is clean water. I think that that is still the focus, and that will not change. And there's a lot of places to make a stand all over this country regarding clean water. So
yes, here.
That's right. That issue is not over with. But we need to continue to love our allies and stop looking for enemies and finding conflict. Because if we stay focused on that goal of protecting the sacred, then there is no enemy. Also, the corporations, again, are not people. There are people working for those corporations, and I've noticed that those among those people, there are some who are changing their approach. Mm-hmm. So there's hope for the people who are working for the corporations also. But I wanted to say something. There's a music piece that I have not had the opportunity to see yet. It's on being shared on social media. And it's Native people who have presented a music in different, I believe it's different styles of music. I'm not sure because I haven't seen it yet. But there was a quote, an introduction at the beginning from Sitting Bull. And he said,
that sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
He said, let's put our heads together to find to determine how to make a life for our children. And if we stay focused on what is best for children, anywhere, everywhere in this world, there will be a change in how everything is approached.
Very true.
Truly agree with that. It's from water to wars.
Amen.
And everything in between.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Francis.
You guys take care. Mm-hmm.
And you are listening to your community radio station, KBOO. Before we go to our next call, let me suggest to you to stay tuned, because at 9 on the Omo Variety Hour, we'll hear from Bill Ayers about his new book, Demand the Impossible, A Radical Manifesto, also Trump and Climate Change. Chris Andre is at 10. She will give us the news headlines, interviews, and commentary. Continuing on at 10:15 is Locus Focus with host Barbara Bernstein. There will be discussion on the victory of water protectors at Standing Rock, and follows up on the fight to keep a giant fossil fuel project from being built in the Northwest. At 11 on Health Watch, take a look at the Fibro Manual, a complete fibromyalgia treatment guide. At 11:30, it is Madness Radio. What is reality, and what does quantum physics tells us about reaching people diagnosed with madness? Hey, thank you, all you who are KBOO members, for your generous support. And if you are not a current member, may I suggest that you become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. This is More Talk Radio with Celeste Carey. I am Cecil Prescott, and we will continue our discussion on Standing Rock and movement building by speaking with our next guest. Wade, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, peace. I want to get to Standing Rock, but I have to respond to that earlier rant. And I appreciate everybody has a right to rant, but I'd like to read just a bit from, and it's just a short paragraph, from The American Drug Scene. Although many early explanations of substance abuse considered it to be a moral weakness, a number of modern investigators have described drug users as maladjusted, hostile, immature, dependent, manipulative, and narcissistic individuals, suggesting that drug use is just one more symptom of their disordered personalities. Others suggest that because drug use is an integral part of the general culture that surrounds the user, it is learned behavior, and there are other explanations. The bad habit theory, disruptive environment theory, cognitive control theory, social deviance theory, biological rhythm theory, subcultural theory, wait for this one, this is the longest one, social neurobiological theory, and many, many, I would add too many more. Now, I would say that one of my rights is to get high. It might be my first one. I would see freedom of expression, pursuit of happiness.
Okay, don't use up all your time. We got
I'm not.
You.
We feel people, you. Some of these people will now call dreaming or sleeping escapism, okay? So I'm not ready for that. But, okay, Standing Rock. I was at Seabrook, New Hampshire, 1979, twice. It is very, very expensive for all this police presence. Yes, six states worth of state troopers.
Yes.
And they're very, Rhode Island were the most intense, with red piping running up and down their sides like blood, and jack booted, you know, up to their thighs. You know, I'm just amazing. Okay, so what I'm saying is that 6 years later, I was in D.C., and I heard over the news that the project was canceled because it went bankrupt. I had stopped going, but people continued to go, and people had gone way before I started going. But the thing is that, all that police presence cost them something, and I would not be surprised if this might be a tactic just for them to save some money till the fiscal end of the year or something like that, right? I appreciate everything, and I see everybody's point about what the veterans did. I think that is so beautiful, ironic, and wonderful that what the military taught them could be actually used against the state in a peaceful way. And I'm not telling people to go or stay. I haven't gone. I've been there in prayer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, but this is a wonderful day, and I am celebrating. I think it's fantastic. And we can make this continue to happen. You know, I thought it was hilarious. They used dogs, and more people came. They did that to scare people away. They won't win if we don't fight. They can't fight if we refuse to fight.
All we have to do is occupy.
It's a murder.
That's right.
But they can't win.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, what you're saying testify to the fact, as you look at movements in this country and throughout the world, and how when it seems as if you are facing power that seems impenetrable, that somehow things happen that turns the table, and that which seemed to be undefeatable begins to melt away.
Yes, it does. You know, and I personally am going to thank my higher power, thank God for that, as I'm sure some of our other Native brothers and sisters did, because when there were different times when buffalo would appear, and that really bolstered the whole attitude of a lot of folks who were standing there. We know, you know, that we are fighting against more than just flesh and blood. And those spiritual moments we have when you're there in prayer, you know, as you have said, are very important. And it's very important for us to remember that we are not a single or even two-dimensional beings. We are multi-dimensional beings. And so you have to fight on more than one front. And that's where we need to remember as we're standing there. If you can't be there, you know, in person or financially, be there in spirit, because we're trying to take care of our, you can call it our spaceship or our mother or whatever you want to call it, but this is the only planet we got.
Right on. I want to think about this as idea by Starhawk, and she says there's two kinds of power. There's power over and there's power with.
Yes.
And power with is what we're doing, and it's much stronger. and it is about all the sharing and all that. There's plenty of power. There's plenty of resources. There's plenty of stuff on the planet, you know, if it's shared, of course, and everybody takes just what they need. The other thing I would suggest is there's a great book called The Sixth Grandfather. It's by a guy named Niebuhr. He interviewed a number of people, but one of them was like a chief in the last line, basically, I guess you'd have to say, because of, you know, what, the interruption by the white folk. But if you want to really learn about how they, you know, work, I mean, how the, it's, there's a chief, but he doesn't rule, you get me?
Right.
Yeah, consensus. So I want to show you a scene because I met this brother at a rainbow gathering, and he had grown up on the Upper West Side of New York, very wealthy, but he had studied with a native shaman there and then had gone to Jamaica, and he was a Rasta at this point. But I told him I wanted to quit smoking dope, and I said, just to clean out for a month or so. And you know what he said to me? It's so funny. He goes, well, if you call it dope, that's what it is for you. But if you call it holy healing herb, that's what it is for you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Word.
All right. Peace.
Peace is it.
So we began our program by noting that this is the 61st anniversary of the beginning of the Montgomery boycott. And as an example of movement building, a couple of days ago was also the 47th anniversary of the assassination of Fred Hampton. Black Panther leader in Chicago, who was only 22 when he died, but his legacy lives on because I think people like this and what we've seen are happening in Standing Rock is mm-hmm. the power, as you and the last caller suggested, of a spiritual foundation that is greater than we can imagine,
yes.
that can defeat forces. Let's go to our next caller. Josh, thank
Good
you
morning.
For waiting.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I appreciate the conversation. I don't generally call into these talk shows, but...
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And you probably want to move along from the caller who was pushing her anti-drug agenda, but I am compelled to call because that's offensive. That's some moral superiority that is only going to break apart the movement. If people are going to alienate each other and talk about unimportant matters, like if you smoke marijuana or not, then what do you have? You have a narrow group of maybe 50 people that all believe the same thing and don't smoke pot in the street. It's counterproductive, and it's frankly offensive that someone would think that that was important in these times.
So let's use that that call and your mm-hmm. reflection on talking about movement buildings in general. So that is not unusual, as I think I heard you suggesting, that people would do that type of things. How do you counter that, and how do you because I think what it does is it destroys attempts at unity. How do we respond to that in a way that bring people together in coalition building?
Well, you have to get some empathy going and start to try to understand people that you might not agree with. I just recently read a passage out of Nelson Mandela's book, A Long Road to Freedom. And he talks about how the African National Committee, the ANC.
Mm-hmm. ANC, yes.
Yeah, they gained power when he started looking at the other groups that were being active and joining forces with them. And suddenly they had a much stronger force. He started reading about communist theory. He was very against it at first, but when he realized that there were some good parts to communist theory, he started incorporating that into what they wanted. It made them stronger just to put down the barriers and start bringing more people into the conversation.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to use this as a teachable moment.
But, you Absolutely. Know, I want to say one thing before you go.
Sure.
While I do understand and appreciate what the caller said could upset folks, I want to say, rather than jump to being offended, listen and see, like I just heard someone say, that this is a teachable moment, and find out what it is the person means. You know, that's one of the things that we didn't get to do with the caller, is find out, well, what exactly do you mean, and what is your objection? What is the basis of your objection? Because it's quite possible that once she got through ranting, she might have had, you know, an enlightening point. She might have.
That's true, and that's the same. It goes back to opening conversation, and that's mm-hmm. how you break down the barriers. So if she was willing to talk about her concerns, maybe other people could talk to her and say, you know, have you ever considered it from this perspective? You know, maybe there's a whole perspective that she could gain empathy by understanding why people might go to marijuana to calm their nerves, to sleep at night, or to aid themselves in pain. I will also say that a lot of people who are trying to be at these demonstrations in the streets have PTSD from being in the demonstrations in the 90s, when the police abuse was much more severe towards protesters. And to smoke marijuana means that they can participate today. Otherwise, there's no way they could be there today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. We are speaking about Standing Rock and movement building. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. Sure.
Sure, we'll take a chance.
Good morning, Alyssa. Let's see if we can have a conversation.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes,
there?
You are.
Okay, so I heard you had some questions for me. I'd be happy to answer those.
Okay. Well, let's start with a basic thing here. You said it's impossible for people to be concerned about their civil rights because they're more interested in getting high. And I was curious as to how you came to that decision.
It's just basic 101 psychology. If you've ever read any kind of book on addiction or how to recover from addiction.
Okay,
I'm talking about all drugs.
Alyssa, can you, you have to slow down. This has to be a give and take. Okay, I'm not talking about addiction. I'm talking about simply smoking pot and being an activist. Now, you said they are mutually exclusive. So I'm curious as to why smoking pot in your mind goes from an occasional use dynamic to automatically being an addiction. Why is it you perceive that occasional use is an addiction?
Okay, so I cannot see how much a person is using. I can't look at a stranger or know how much any person is using unless I know them very well and they basically tell me. I live in Oregon. I live in Portland, and I'm a longtime resident. I've been here for more than 30 years, and I know a lot of people are smoking pot and are doing drugs, and
And you know this how?
To the point that it affects people quite a bit, and I just don't. I believe that, in order to have individual thoughts and not to kind of have. Follow the leader, the follow the leader mentality, and you need to be of sober mind and clean, and that's the only way you can think for yourself, and the only way you can be individual, and the only way you can have individual thoughts. And I think civil rights is about being individual and having having individual thoughts and being a thought influencer, and smoking pot is the opposite. It's like following the crowd, following the herd, and not being individual. And, you know, the herd here, the majority of the herd here is racist, and they're not for rights. And, I mean, people use pot as a way of, like, kind of coming together and having low self-esteem together and making sure other people have low self-esteem. I mean, it's really...
Okay, hold
control.
On.
It's
you
about
Hey,
control.
Alyssa, let's have a little control so we can have a dialogue here, okay? You're cramming a whole lot of different ideas together, and you're making some really sweeping statements, or some people might call them blanket statements here. So let's just back up a little bit. Now, Cecil, you had something you wanted to ask her.
And it's more about you, Alyssa, in terms of because you seem very passionate about this, and so I wonder what things have led you to this in terms of marijuana, because you came on very strong about that as opposed to some.
I'm feeling so disappointed by even the questions you're asking me. I mean, if you live here, you know that there are problems, and to act so. Superficial to act like Portland is so great isn't doing anything.
Nobody's acting like anything is so great. Alyssa, okay, you're having what sounds like a stream of consciousness rant, which is not giving you credibility.
No, Portland is poor.
Okay, thank you for your call, Alyssa. Take a breath. Okay, so I think we're dealing with someone who's had some traumas. You know, and some really intense issues that she's working on. And I'm not going to disparage her because I don't know where she is. And I know I have been in similar places.
So do we have another caller?
It's Wade again.
Okay. Okay, Wade. Let's see. Wade, are you there?
Hi. I wanted to just say thank you.
Hello?
We
might have lost him. Oh, there he is.
All right. One, thank you, both of you, for running such a professional and loving and caring thing, because you gave her every opportunity. Other DJs, I'm just going to say, will hang up very soon, and I appreciate that you gave her a chance just to even take a breath, you know. But I wanted to respond, because she's got an idea about drugs. She's spouting out a lot of, like, assumptions as if they're facts. Now, I would say this. Caffeine is a drug. Nicotine is a drug. And I would even say that milk is a drug because it helps you sleep, okay? I forget what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. Tryptophan, yes. Thank you. So I just describe all the coffee use that goes on around here. Pick me up or let me down, whatever it is. It's all over town. And you cannot go up without coming down. We know these expressions, right? What goes up comes down. So if you're getting a high off your coffee rush, and I got hooked on those things for a little bit when I started. I thought, okay, I'll pay $4 for a latte and see what this is. I was so wired. People thought I was on meth. I went back and said, how much espresso do you put in there? 6 shots.
Wow.
6 shots of espresso.
Gee.
That's just wired city. People drink 2 and 3 of these things. All right, so I'm not judging. I'm just saying, choose your poison. She can't possibly know what other people's use is. One, because it's really none of her business unless she's really very close to that person, you got me? Where they might be sharing a residence or something, or a life, or what have you. All right,
well,
you got me?
Okay, we got you. Thank you, Wade. I think unintentionally, what we've experienced this morning is a way in which we as a society find difficult to communicate with one another. I think what we are learning from what's happening in Standing Rock and from the comments of other people of the necessity of building coalition. In order to build a coalition, we have to allow one another to speak their truth from their space. But it also requires me to listen and try to find common ground. I hope with Alyssa or with Wade or with anyone that we might be able to find points of commonality, and from that build movements. We will always and have always had disagreements. And the way in which movements are built is moving beyond those to find stronger, deeper grounds of commonality. Because our life, our world depends on it. We have time for, I think, one last caller. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You're on the line. I think we might have lost that caller. This has been More Talk Radio, and we have been reflecting about Standing Rock and how do we build movements. So continue to struggle, continue to work for that which is right, and continue to take care of yourself and those around you. For Celeste Carey, this has been Cecil Prescott for More Talk Radio. Have a great day.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It is 8:59. Coming up at 9 o'clock on the Old Mole Variety Hour, we're going to hear from Bill Ayers about his new book, Demand the Impossible, A Radical Manifesto. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Locus Focus. Host Barbara Bernstein discusses the victory of the water protectors at Standing Rock and follows up on the fight to keep a giant fossil fuel project from being built in the Northwest. At 11 o'clock on Health Watch, they take a look at Fibro Manual, a complete fibromyalgia treatment guide. And at 11:30 on Madness Radio, what is reality? And what does quantum physics tell us about reaching people diagnosed with madness? Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Seattle Theater Group, presenting comedian Tig Notaro performing at Revolution Hall Friday, December 16th. Tickets are still available for her 10:30 performance, and more information for Tig Notaro on December 16th can be found at revolutionhall.com. It's 8:59.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue in Portland. KBOO and Elysian Brewing will celebrate the release of the Manic IPA series with hip-hop, funk, and electronica spun by The Pariahs, DJ Dakimba, and Vinology. Again, that's Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue, 3341 Southeast Belmont Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dookie Jam, taking place monthly at Dante's in Portland. Dookie Jam is an open funk jam session for musicians, vocalists, MCs, and everyone who is over 21. Again, that's Dookie Jam.